Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles wrapping up their home schedule today, 105, as you heard during Nolan's update there. I've got Tampa's lineup. I'll give you the Baltimore lineup. By the way, Mangum leading off. Where's number 28? If I don't see a ball between the 2 and the 8, first at bat, I'm going to have a problem. A problem here. I want vengeance. I want redemption after what happened last night with Sammy Basayo. Heckling fans aside, but we're not here to talk about that. Here to talk about the minor league player and pitcher of the year and the prospect that rose or fell the most in 2025 from OrielsHangout.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline, Tony Pente. Tony, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing good.
All right, let's talk about Nate George first. He was the Brooks Robinson Minor League Player of the Year, 16th round draft pick, 19 years old, right-handed stick, which we like for the big picture scenario because it seems as though Elias only drafts left-handed hitting outfielders. But why a 19-year-old who's still in the lower levels of the minor league system, why is he the dude this year?
He really came out of just pretty much nowhere. I mean, the fact that he came from a little known school up in Illinois, wasn't highly scouted, didn't go to a lot of the big camps that gets these young high school players seen. So he kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit. So good job by the Orioles scouting him. They gave him a little bit more than, he was a 16th round pick. He got $450,000 versus which typically would get maybe $100,000. So they saw a little extra to get him out of his college commitment. And he's just absolutely taken off this year. I mean, he plays with his hair on fire. Everything he does at full blast. Speed, almost to reckless abandonment at some times. And you can tell a little bit when you watch him play, there's a little bit of rawness to his game, but there's nothing that you don't look at that you go, he's not going to be able to overcome this, which is experience. And he's just a fantastic prospect overall. I mean, 80 runner, just fantastic defender, good arm in the outfield on top of it. It's going to steal a ton of bases, but really needs to learn how to try to steal bases. Right now, he's just faster than some guys that can throw. But he did get caught a whole bunch of times, too. He doesn't get good jumps. And there's, again, a little bit of rawness to his game there. But, for considering where he came from, his setup at the plate, his ability to adjust to off-speed pitches this early in his career really makes it jumps out reason why he's blown up prospect lists all over the place.
Now, he 5 home runs this year, and he's only 19. You remember Manny Machado when he first came up had the 50 doubles, and we're like, well, they're going to turn into home runs sooner or later, and he's hit like 400-plus of those as his career has evolved. Is there some power potential for this kid where he can hit the 20-plus mark in the HR category?
Yeah, I do think he's going to have some little bit of pop. I don't want to call him squatty because that makes him sound like he's heavy. He's not. He's just built very solidly. He's a 6-foot guy. He's probably every bit of 200 pounds. He's just very solidly built athlete. And I think that's going to ultimately turn into a little bit more power. I've seen him drive the ball this year. I've seen him drive the ball oppo. So it shows me it's not just pull power. It just might take a little while. Do I think he's going to be a huge home run hitter? No, I don't. I think he's probably end up a 15, 20 home run guy. But if he's hitting, you know, 20, 25, 30 doubles along with that and getting on base and stealing 60 bases, that's a heck of a ball player.
Now, Trey Gibson was the Jim Palmer Minor League Pitcher of the Year. He's a guy undrafted, 23 years old, 2 years in a row. Brandon Young came out of nowhere. He got it last year. Saw him in the majors this season. Who the hell's Trey Gibson, and why is he the Minor League Pitcher of the Year? Is that a good or bad thing, quite frankly?
Well, it's a good thing the way he threw this ball, this year. I mean, he really showed really good stuff. I mean, he averages 94, 95 miles an hour on his four-seamer and sinkers. He's got a slider, sweeper, and a cutter go along with a curve. He kind of throws a kitchen sink at people. He really did great up until he hit Triple A. He had a little bit of a little trip up towards the end of the year, making the adjustment to Triple A. I don't see that being a long-term problem. The stuff is too good. It doesn't have a ton. It's not a ton spin rate, but he just has the ability to throw a lot of different pitches at him. He has enough velocity to get the ball by guys. Although the fastball is a low spin four-seamer, so it did get hit a little bit at AAA, so you do have a little bit of concern when it gets to the major league level, whether that's something that he's going to start moving more, try to get more of a cutter, try to go more into a sinker to stay away from the four-seamer due to the low spin rate. But, you know, overall, good stuff, really amazing story. The fact that he came out of Liberty University, didn't even pitch his junior year because of some off-the-field incidents that he ended up not being able to play. But the Orioles, again, got to give the Orioles credit. This is a guy that someone found, was able to get as an undrafted free agent. Here he is, a top 10 prospect in the organization.
Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as we wrap up the minor league year. Now, outside of George and Gibson, the biggest riser, in a good way, of course, that's what rising means in the system, and the guy that really kind of cratered here, that was expected to be more than he turned out to be.
Well, I think we'll start with the crater, because I think that's a pretty obvious one, and that's going to have to be Honeycutt. When you look at the type of year that he had this year, he just couldn't hit. I mean, Vance Honeycutt was the number one draft pick last year, received over $4 million as a signing bonus, and put up just one of the worst minor league offensive seasons that I can remember watching for the last 30 plus years of watching and scouting Oriole baseball or minor league baseball. He's just awful. Wasn't able to make contact. When he did make contact, he was not hitting for power. It just was really a lost year. And really, I just don't see how he can make enough adjustments to get back to being a prospect. So I think that's probably the guy that fell the most, because he was a top five prospect coming into this season. Probably the guy that jumped up, I would have probably said Trey Gibson, because I think we probably had him in the 30-40 range at the end of last season. Now he's going to end the year in the top 10. Probably another guy that probably jumps up on my board this year is probably going to be Michael Ferret. Even though I did like Michael Ferret coming into this season, you're talking about, again, a young right-handed pitcher who was a fairly low draft pick, didn't get a ton of money, who has really come on. And he's a guy that can throw in the mid-90s. He throws you three different types of breaking balls. He'll throw you a nice changeup. And he was able to show up. And actually, when he was able to stay healthy and he had a little bit of issues with his back early in the year, luckily nothing elbow, nothing shoulder. That always makes me feel a little better. Once he was able to start getting back out there and consistently, he had a lot of success all the way up to the Double-A level this year. So I think we'll see him start again next year at the Double-A. It would not be surprising if he doesn't spend a pretty good amount next year at Triple-A, and he could be somebody they could be talking about at some point late in the year next year if they need a starting pitcher.
Hey, Tone, with a new GM coming in, how's that going to affect or change player development?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure because it's still a little murky on what the role will be versus what Mike Elias' role is going to be now that he was promoted up to be president. So when you look at it, we just don't know exactly how that's going to kind of shake out. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in. Is it someone with a player development background? Is he going to be someone that wants to bring in some of his own folks? Or is he going to be the one that's going to be necessarily just focusing on developing that major league roster, and they're going to leave folks like Blood and Vila involved in player development? So I think it's still up in the air. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out this offseason.
Tony Petit, as we wrap up our segment with you for another calendar year, tell everyone what's happening at OrielsHangout.com today, and looking forward to the offseason.
Yeah, again, guys, appreciate you having me on all season. Always enjoy talking to Orioles prospects and the Orioles with you guys and everyone out there listening. You know, we've been following the Orioles minor league system for the last 30 years at Orioles Hangout, so we're going to be doing again. We'll do our top. We actually got the top 75, but we'll probably be starting our top 30 prospects by the end of October, early November, and then we'll be out to 175, or out to 1 to 75. Sorry, I'd love to go to 175. Wow, that'd be a lot. But out to there, we'll get all those guys. So you can see all the guys that you need to follow next year, and hopefully, if they do acquire anybody this year, we'll add them in as well.
Tony Petit, enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday. Enjoy the off season, and I'm sure we'll be catching
Thanks,
up
Tom.
With you at some point.
All right, guys, thanks for having me all year.
There's Tony Petit. We'll come back with a whip around, and then Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick will be joining us. We'll get to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Here from Nolan, news from the Nest coming up at the top of the hour. Count some late week money, hopefully, with buy or sell at 12:15. And we'll look at Kansas City's defense. Where could they pose problems? Ravens offensive line was shaky last week against Detroit. Could maybe Steve Spagnuolo, Spags, duplicate some problems here?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send request plus for text line 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in a couple of hours. Orioles lineup today against Tampa. Dylan Beavers leading off in left field. Jordan Westberg's at third base. Gunnar Henderson at short. Ryan Mountcastle, the DH. Jeremiah Jackson's back in right field. Colton Cowser in center. Kobe Mayo, first base. Alex Jackson is behind the plate. And Jorge Mateo at second base. Remember yesterday, Nolan, we'll talk about this with Mike Bordick later. Holiday was in the lineup yesterday, got scratched, had knee soreness.
Oh.
So if it's something, there's four games left. There's no need to do anything significant. And with Drew Rasmussen, a righty on the hill for a Tampa, no Samuel Basayo as well. So maybe it's time to shut down the young kids. And we'll get into that and more with Borda, because I want vengeance for what happened last night. Kate Povich on the hill for Baltimore. He's 3-8 with a 5.06, his last start of the year. Now, college football coming up this week. There's no Maryland going on, but there's plenty of interesting matchups tomorrow. Two top 25 teams in action, Florida State at Virginia. Seminoles 8.5-point favorites. That TCU's at Arizona State actually getting points to the Sun Devils. Virginia Tech's at Wake on Saturday at noon, ranked number 16. USC's at Illinois. The Trojans, 6.5-point favorites over the Fighting Illini, who last week were in the top 10. And they got ran out of the stadium by Indiana. Notre Dame's at Arkansas. Fighting Irish 4.5. Vanderbilt, they're number 18. They host Utah State, laying 23.5. Ohio State's at Washington. Washington comes to Maryland next Saturday. Ohio State, number one in the country, laying 7.5. That's 3:30 on CBS. LSU's at Ole Miss. LSU's right number four Rebels are ranked 13. Mississippi's 1.5-point favorites in that game. Auburn's in Texas A&M. Auburn, the tough loss against Oklahoma. Aggies, they're ranked 9th. They're 6.5-point favorites there. Speaking of Indiana, at Iowa, laying 7.5. This could be a spoiler alert.
Yeah, the only problem is Iowa can't score. You know, that's going to be the problem there.
Tennessee's at Mississippi State. Volunteers ranked number 15, 7.5 over the undefeated Mississippi State team. Arizona 3-0 at number 14, Iowa State, also undefeated. Cyclones 5.5 there. Oregon's at Penn State. Massive game here. Number 6, Oregon 4-0. Penn State number 3, 3-0. Nittany Lions laying 3.5. Number 17, Alabama. Number 5, Georgia. Georgia 3.5 there. Missouri number 20 hosting Massachusetts, 43.5-point spread in this game. And BYU, ranked number 25 at Colorado. The Cougars laying 6.5. So some pretty interesting games going on in the top 25 this week.
Yeah, this is a really good weekend, Bob. I mean, we're going to kind of get kind of lay of the land, I would think, this weekend, you know, because of, the Oregon-Penn State game. That one's going to... All the pressure's on Penn State. They got it. They got the whiteout. It's at home, you know. And so all the pressure is definitely on Penn State.
Yesterday, Maryland recruiting basketball. Anthony Brown picked Vanderbilt over Maryland. So I guess the Terps could circle back to Trey Beamer, who visited a couple of weeks ago. We'll talk more about that with Keith Cavanaugh from TerrapinTimes.com. This day in local sports history, it is September the 25th. How about we go back to 1977 at Shea Stadium?
I was a senior in high school.
Don McCauley, North Carolina Tar Heel, rushed for two TDs. Rosie Leakes, Texas, he rushed for a touchdown. Colts beat the Jets 20-12. 2016, Orioles history. Orioles take out Arizona there, or at Oriole Park Cannon Yards, excuse me. I was actually sitting in the press box with Ross Grimsley. Hyunsoo Kim hit a two-run homer. Dylan Bundy picked up his 10th win of the season. Zach Britton, his 46th save as the Orioles crept closer to the wild card. They were one and done, but still made the postseason under Buck Showalter. In 2011, Nolan, in St. Louis, Ravens taking on the Rams. Torrey Smith, second-round pick out of the University of Maryland. Remember him and Danny O'Brien were looking like Joe Montana to Jerry Rice in Ralph's last year. Hadn't caught a pass in his first couple of games. Catches three touchdown passes in the first quarter from Joe Flacco. Billy Cundiff, he kind of become a villain later in the season. He kicked three field goals at a Lodi Nada. 28-yard fumble return for a touchdown as the Ravens blow out the then St. Louis Rams 37-7. I was telling Nolan off the air the next day, because I hosted the Haloti Nada show that year. We were at the Green Turtle in Hunt Valley. It was Haloti, Ray Lewis, and Torrey Smith.
Wow.
And me. So, of course, I was the most significant person of the four people at the table. But that's 14 years ago. Woo! Get the bleep out of here. Anyway, coming up next, Mike Bordick. Get his Oriole thoughts as the season winds down. It's final four games of this disappointing year. It is what it is. But, hey, what do you think of Manzo? Does he deserve the job? Should he get the job? It might not resonate with the fans as a big splashy hire. I think the bottom line is, what's the best hire for the Oriole?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn a request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send song request blast for text line. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. Back 2 hours plus from now. We'll let you know who we're jamming to tomorrow for Featured Artist Friday. But joining us now to talk about the Orioles wrapping up the 2025 season, which quite frankly sucked based on expectations. But he does not suck. He's an Oriole Hall of Famer. He's our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He's brought to us and you by the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Mike Bordick. Bordick, how you feeling this morning, my friend?
Well, I feel all right, Bob. How about you?
I can't complain. You know, it is what it is. I'd like to be getting ready to do playoff baseball, but it's not happening. But let's move on with the task at hand. Now, first, and I said this earlier, Nolan disagrees. After Fairbanks plunked Bisaya, I'm going old school, eye for an eye. You played for Tony La Russa, who'd be all about this, by the way. Earl Weaver kind of downplayed the bean brawl stuff, but I think he would recognize things. So Fairbanks hits Bisaya, who's out of lineup today, in the wrist, blows a kiss towards a heckling fan. All right, fans can be a-holes, we know that. But I want redemption. I want Povich to hit Mangum right in the back. What do you think Manzo is going to do? He's got 4 games left. Would that resonate within the clubhouse, or is that something that would be frowned upon?
Well, I think Manzo after the game said that, you know, he got all the respect in the world for Tampa, doesn't think that was intentional. So he's already sent the message that he doesn't expect any retaliation, or at least it doesn't appear on the outside that he wants any kind of retaliation. You know, Fairbanks, a proven closer, great stuff, big arm. Going up and in nowadays with 98 is not smart. And I agree, man. If these guys can't throw in, then I like the old school mentality. Teach them. Don't throw in if you can't do it, because, you know, Bisaya just inked that big 8-year deal. If he would have broke his wrist and gone into the offseason like that, then I can say retaliate. And then some, maybe two of their guys, because it's pretty frustrating here, the end of the season, and you got to go up and in at the end of a ball game. You know, and I think his command is a lot better than that. He might have been wanting to send a message, but the way guys have to get themselves going nowadays to catch up to 98, everybody cheats a little bit. He's pretty lucky he didn't get full exposure there. And he's really lucky that he didn't break his wrist. I'm not sure if there's going to be retaliation, but I wouldn't mind Povich pitching inside. And if you hit him, you hit him. But my gosh, if they're going to pitch inside the, you know, our guys, then we got to show them that we can pitch inside to them.
Damn right. All right. Tony Manzolino, Bordy, we were talking about it yesterday on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, our final pickles extravaganza of the year, about his prospects for getting the full-time job. He seems to have the respect of said clubhouse. He's been with the team for 5 years, so he knows the players. He's tried to cultivate that infield, you know, and he's manned up, no pun intended, when he speaks to the media. Doesn't throw players under the bus, but points out weaknesses in a kind of a stern and matter-of-fact way. What do you think about Manzolino? Does he deserve the job if all things are equal? Or does Mike Elias, insert GM here, do they want to go in a different direction, change for the sake of change?
Well, you know what? I think this is going to be an ownership call. I think it was more of an ownership call, you know, to fire Brandon Hyde. And I think it's going to be an ownership call if they're going to be aggressive for a manager. I personally think this, when you have a group of young players and they like the guy they're talking to, that is half the battle. Developing relationships. And if you bring in a guy, and I know we all want this old grizzled vet that, you know, has been to World Series and things like that. It's going to be a different message. And I like the fact that Manzolino has been with these guys since they all came up in diapers, and he's helped them. And they've all had great improvements, especially on the infield. And I do think they really respect him. As far as in-game stuff goes, I think he's done a good job. I think the second half of the season was just such a mess with a whole new bullpen, trying to find out guys. So it's really hard to judge Manzolino on his in-game calling. I judge managers now much like Kevin Cash. Kevin Cash from Tampa, he's all about the relationships with the players. And when players and that relationship is strong, players will run through a wall for you. And I think Manzo's kind of got the ear of some of these guys. And, you know, I like the continuity aspect of it all to keep these guys heading in the right direction. I think a full disruption could be rough, especially for some of the younger players.
Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 the Fan for the last time. At least getting paid. Well, he'll be working for free once we get to the playoffs. Did I say that into an open microphone? All right, we talked yesterday on BBT about the infield defense improving exponentially over last year. But what about that outfield D based on the personnel that's currently on the roster, Mike? How good, bad are they defensively now, and how much of an upgrade needs to happen here?
Yeah, they're not good. I mean, my gosh, they're really inconsistent out there. I'm a big fan of Colton Cowser. He's average, borderline below average defender. Beavers, he hasn't impressed me much defensively, especially his throwing arm. And O'Neill, oh my gosh, every time he goes after a ball, I think he's going to get hurt. You know, so yeah, they got to do some shaking up. We were spoiled. Cedric Mullins couldn't throw, but my gosh, could he run down the baseball? What a great defensive outfielder we had here. And the Orioles need a good defensive outfield. And right now, I think they're a little short.
Who has been the most disappointing Oriole in your eyes, Mike Bordick, in 2025?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know I mentioned O'Neill. I just think that was, you know, O'Neill, Sanchez, very disappointing offseason signing. Contributed very little. But my biggest disappointment, and I think this kind of rings true with most Oriole fans, is Adley. It's just, you know, we've missed him. For he was back-to-back All-Star, really, you know, set the stage for what we thought was going to be an incredible career here, and he has just fallen off. And I don't know exactly what it is. I know we've talked before about possibly his mechanics, just maybe just the mental side of things. But whatever, he's got to make some adjustments this offseason and come back and be a guy. He's got to be a major part of this offense if they want to compete next year. I mean, Adley just disappeared for a year and a half. So, yeah, he's my biggest disappointment.
Hey, Bordy, I tend to disagree with you a little bit. I think if Manzolino keeps a job, they need to bring in some veteran assistance for him to get some experience around there. But I would, you know, because when you really look at it, Bordy, who really improved this year? You know, so I think having a new message, you know, a guy in there who's, when he walks in the room, that he has presence and he commands respects the day he walks in a room. I think having that in there, I don't think that would be all bad.
No, I don't mind that. And as a matter of fact, I think with the right group, that is exactly what you'd need. But I just think with so many young players, and who knows, you might be exactly right. That might be enough to shake guys up. Because a great example in our recent history was when Buck Showalter came in, the team immediately started playing like a championship caliber team. Was it Buck? Was it his philosophy? Or just the credibility of it being Buck Showalter? That may have a big impact. Like I said, though, I'm concerned about the youth, the young players on this team, that if all of a sudden it's a different message and they're not pampered the way they've been the last few years without, you know, being ripped apart by a better guy, how are they going to handle that? Because it has been a little vanilla, you know what I'm saying? And I think this team, and you could be right, though, Vinny, because that kind of aggressive, more veteran, grizzled attitude could be just what they need. I'm just kind of going with the way, I don't know, Major League Baseball is right now. You know, first of all, there aren't many old, crusty veteran managers that have that old school mentality out there that I think would be a great fit for this Oriole team. But it'll be interesting to see which way they lean that way. So, yeah, I think you can see both sides of it. I just think when you're talking about the mental side of the game, is it going to be somebody that comes in and screams and plays hardball with these young guys, or is it going to be someone that makes them feel good and comfortable? Because everything, all reports that we hear coming out of the club, oh, just great guys, you know, super guys. Maybe they just don't have enough of that tenacity and that edge that you're talking about, Vinny. So yeah, I support both sides, to be honest with you. You talked me into it, Vinny.
Way to stay on the fence. Hey, by the way, get yourself more grizzled this offseason. He's Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer. Bordy, we appreciate the time as always, all season long. You know, we love you here, and we'll be talking to you during the playoffs, and maybe the Tigers won't even make it the way they're going right now.
Jeez, I know. I'll tell you what, you know, the Orioles not getting into the postseason is one thing, but this wild card stuff has really made baseball interesting. This is going to be a great final four games, you know, left of the season for some of these teams trying to fight to get in. So, yeah, enjoy that and look forward to talking to you guys again.
Thanks,
Marty.
All right, talk to you soon. There's Mike Bordick, everybody. We'll come back, get to Nolan McGraw and hear news from the Nats coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell, 12:15. Vinny's film breakdown of the Chiefs defense coming up at 12:30. Ravens back in practice today, yesterday, minus their entire starting defensive line, but yet they're still favored in Kansas City. And we'll see who's there, who isn't. No Nnamdi Matabike. I think John Harbaugh made that as clear as he possibly could, that he ain't playing. Question is, will he play again in 2025? Orioles are raised coming up in about an hour. We'll keep you up to date on the score throughout the final hour of this program. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up? Rashawn. He rookie moved it.
Oh, boy.
He knows the deal. If you're not there by 6 or you're not on the line when we get to you, you get condipped. Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
What's up? Is will he ever play again? I mean, look what happened to Zach Orr, man. That's what I've been afraid of. You know, that neck is nothing to play with. So, but, hey, Vinny, I like when you always talk about, like, when you be out there in the training camp and you talk about what the offensive linemen can do and can't do, their measurables and all that. But I asked a question to somebody today. Who was the last good pass rusher the Ravens drafted? And I'm not saying because of the one that was a diamond in the rough and left here went to the Patriots. I'm saying since Suggs, the Ravens to me really haven't drafted a notable pass rusher. And to me, it's because they really haven't been addressing it. What you think about that, man?
When you look, they've tried, but they haven't invested a high pick.
That's the word. But here's the thing. The ones they tried with, I mean, these last two, to me, think of the project guys they bring in. They have too many projects to me. Even on the offensive line. Man, when they drafted the big, colossal, whatever you want to call them, Sasquatch from Georgia. I said, what they wasted the draft pick for? Yeah. That's right. You know what I'm talking about. I ain't even got to say names.
Well, pass rusher, let's go back. Because Oway was a first-round pick.
Yes, he was.
Yep. You know, and kind of a reach kind
yes,
of, you
it
know,
was.
Because
yes, it was.
Because he had no sacks in college,
That's what I'm talking about.
And then Ajabo was second-round pick.
Oh, God.
That was a steal in the second round, though.
Yep.
You know, he's stealing money. He's stealing money because he ain't done nothing since he's been here.
No, and he played 6 snaps Monday night. Yeah, and he's been inactive the other two. So, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the kid, you know, because he had the Achilles and then he had the other stuff. And, you know,
but now he's just not playing.
He's not.
Here's my point. We say this is all in, we say this is Super Bowl or bust. If you ain't playing it right now, something out of the trade deadline, you will fool DaCosta. Now, Vinny, give me who you would want and what you would try to do to get him from another team in the NFL right now, a pass rusher, and I'll hang up because I want to hear other people harp on that too. Take it easy, brothers.
All right, thank
See,
you,
I don't,
Joe.
I don't think you can. No team that's sitting 2-1 or feels like they got a chance. They're not giving away their players right now. It's way too early to do any of that. You know, I mean, a team, you know, maybe like a Tennessee, you know, somebody, Miami,
yeah, they
Tennessee.
They could be open for business.
Yeah, those kind of guys. Yeah, they may be open for business. What do you got to give? Those kind of teams, they don't want players. They want draft picks.
What you mentioned Miami, and I'm just throwing it out there because of the local ties. Chop Robinson started at Maryland, went to Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a really good rookie year. I think like everybody else on the Miami defense, not really lighting it up at this time. Are they in that desperate of sell mode in Miami, or do they still think like Tyreek Hill could probably be had if you want to go that route, no pun intended, but are they willing to sacrifice really young players?
Well, the problem is, Bob, you know, GM, does he have any authority? Greer, does he have any authority? Because he's probably getting whacked too. So who's making those decisions? You know, an owner, he's going to have to clear it with ownership, and ownership's not going to give away their young, you know, I'm not giving away Chop Robinson. You know, I'll be going to look for another Chop Robinson with that pick.
Yeah, to Joe's point about who they drafted over the years, they went high on Boulware, home run.
Yeah.
High on Suggs.
Home run.
Hall of Fame home run. And Boulware was an all-pro and rookie of the year and all that, but I mean, you're talking, they got to bring in the Doomervilles of the world to provide from outside the organization.
Clowney, Doomerville, you know, they brought in a lot of guys.
I mean, and Judon was, what, a fifth-round draft pick?
Fifth-round pick.
Who had a good run, but investing in that dude, haven't really done it.
No, they have not. They have not, you know. But the thing you could say is they really don't have high picks to go get that elite guy. I mean, when you look at the Bob, the Giants, I mean, they got Burns, Abdul Carter, and
Thibodeau.
They got three. Two of those three were, I can't remember where Burns was picked. But
he's drafted by Carolina. Yeah. He was he was first round draft pick.
Yeah. And he's the best. He's awesome right now. But the other two are top five picks, and the Ravens don't get there.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls when you join us. News from the Nest style. Going to hear from John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, and Adafe Owe. Speaking of where's the pass rush, stick around for that. We'll count some money, hopefully at 12:15 with buy or sell. And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Chiefs defense against the Ravens offense. We saw Detroit. Everyone said they were soft last week. Yep. They came in and put a foot up the Ravens rear end on Monday night. Can Kansas City duplicate that in their own dojo?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.